Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Tomorrow, Tuesday, August 9th, marks what is likely to be one of the most watched partisan primaries in the nation, happening right here in Wisconsin. With some high-profile endorsements, record campaign spending, and some last-minute withdrawals from the U.S. Senate Democratic primary challengers, we are hearing today from the Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Paul Farrell, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chairman Ben Wickler. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Okay. So midterm, primary election, middle of summer, low voter turnout?
I think we're going to see a pretty average turnout when you look at the primaries, typically around that 900,000 type of mark. I think there's going to be possibly a little bit more. When I'm out throughout the state, the level of energy that we're seeing on the Republican side is there. And there's a lot of people that are passionate about making a change and wanting the state to go in a different direction. So I think it's going to be maybe average, a little bit above average, but it's going to be exciting.
You're predicting average turnout. We had the withdrawal of some of those U.S. Senate Democratic challengers. Does that mean lower turnout on the Democratic primary side?
It's almost impossible to say, I think, for the primary, but I can very confidently predict for the general election, there's going to be massive turnout. And I would guess on both sides. What we saw in the spring election this year, relative to the last time we had a spring election with no statewide candidate on the ballot, was an 86% jump in voter turnout. It's really breaking the record books. And I think this fall, for anyone who cares about what happens for the future of our state, for our country, it is absolutely incumbent to go out and cast your ballot.
So without those challengers on the Dem side, would you predict Democrat voters jumping over and voting in that GOP primary?
That's not really a thing that I see a lot of Democrats doing. The thing we see in the Republican gubernatorial primary is a pair of candidates that seem to be leapfrogging each other to radical extreme positions. One day, they're here, then the other one comes out with something even more extreme, like on the 1849 abortion ban. Tim Michaels says that it's an exact mirror of his position, even though it has no exceptions for rape or incest and the cutoff is 0 weeks of pregnancy. And Rebecca Clayfish then says she wants to remove the exception for the life of the mother that's written into the 1849 law. Those are so out of step with Wisconsinites, but you see that on issue after issue, from gun safety to their attempts to repeal the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So really, whichever candidate comes out of the Republican governor's race, we already know how out of step with Wisconsin voters they're going to be.
Let's talk about that. I'm sure you are disagreeing with what you just heard from your colleague over here. How is that primary shaping up?
You know, when you look at it, I think we are going to disagree a little bit, Ben. Go figure. It's a challenge, and it's one where the candidates are out there trying to let the people of Wisconsin know we need a change in direction. And what I mean by that is, and I've heard from Ben saying here that we're talking about the 1849 abortion bill, a lot of that is smokescreen right now for what really is happening in Wisconsin. We're seeing the highest inflation that we've ever seen. We're seeing gas prices that are $1 plus over when President Biden came in. They're still increasing. They're down a little bit right now, but they're fluctuating. We're seeing challenge after challenge after challenge of how our economy is being impacted. And then look at our schools. Over the last 2.5 plus years, due to the pandemic and due to the emergency orders that the governor put in place, we're seeing a huge decrease in the potential of our kids and a back step that they're taking. We need to get all that back on track. So we look at candidates who are coming in with some good leadership, solid leadership positions, ready to make a change for Wisconsin. And I think we're going to be able to put it back on the right track on November 8th.
We had quite a few high-profile visits to Wisconsin last week. Former Vice President Pence, former President Trump just on Friday in Waukesha. Do those visits have an impact on GOP voters? Do you expect it changed anybody's minds?
You know, when you look at the whole past year, we've had a lot of conversations around endorsements in the Republican Party in different ways. What I always say is the people of Wisconsin are some of the most educated when it comes to elections. and they are passionate about their positions. We have a great slice of individuals that are kind of right in that middle and look to see what's going on. They're not as much swayed about the endorsements as about where the state is going, the direction it's going, and the leadership that we have moving it.
So nothing that President Trump said on Friday has made up anybody's mind.
I don't think it's going to change the dial too much. The people that were there are the people that were passionate about what they want to hear. The other ones that may have been listening in may have tried to hear a couple of things, but I don't think that changes the dial too much.
Do you think there's a preferential candidate that Governor Tommy Evers would like to run against in November?
Either Tim Michaels or Rebecca Clayfish have essentially disqualified themselves already. And it's striking, you know, Governor Evers and Mandela Barnes beat Scott Walker and Rebecca Clayfish 4 years ago. In 2004, Tim Michaels lost catastrophically to Russ Feingold. So these are both candidates who have a record of losing to Democrats in our state. The thing with either of them is that on the core issues facing Wisconsinites, from issues like rising costs, where Governor Evers is working to drive costs down in our state, to schools, I'm glad you brought up education, Wisconsin's back in the top 10 in the country in terms of its public schools. Under Rebecca Clayfish, she oversaw massive cuts to local governments that fund public school budgets. And Tim Michaels is proposing a system to support parents suing school districts if they don't like the books that are being taught in schools, that could drain massively funds that are urgently needed to actually educate our kids. So these are both Republicans who are running really on anti-public school platforms. And Governor Evers' lifetime as an educator, his mantra, what's best for our kids is what's best for our state. It's so critical that we lift that up as we go into Election Day, because for the future of our kids, for any family that wants to make sure that they have enough money in the bank to be able to support their families, it's critical that Governor Evers is reelected.
You're saying Governor Evers' easy win in November?
Well, this is Wisconsin. This is the state of the hairline election. So I think it's going to be close no matter what happens. But I also know that when voters take a good look at either Rebecca Clayfish or Tim Michaels or Timothy Rampton, let's not count him out, they're going to have a pretty clear choice. And if you want someone who governs with common sense, bringing people together to actually get things done and doing the right thing, it's pretty obvious that Governor Evers is the candidate for you.
Timothy Rampton, I disagree, though.
Governor Evers has said it many times that he wants to bring people together. No bad idea or no good idea is a bad idea. I'm going to listen to everything. But this is the governor who has had the fewest meetings with the legislative body of any governor before. You know, when you look at what has happened and what has transpired in COVID, situation occurs. You have a huge pandemic that occurs, goes through. He puts an emergency order. He shuts everything down. In the spring of 2020, we're shut down, working through how to get our kids back into school. In the fall of 20, as the kids are getting to go back to school, Governor Evers even says, this is a messy situation, and I don't want to be part of it. I think the locals should be part of it. That's not leadership, and that's not educational leadership. I mean, the part of the challenge that people say is Governor Evers is our education governor because he was superintendent. But in that time, yeah, our schools may be back number-wise, but if you look at individual school districts, the rates are down significantly in reading and math comprehension. Those are the challenges that we have. Along with that, we have seen more and more districts pulling responsibility away from the parents. Raising kids is a fundamental right of the parents. The schools are supposed to work in partnership with them. And what you saw, as you said, back in spring election cycle, we saw some of the greatest numbers of election numbers coming out. I think it was a large number of parents saying enough is enough. We want to have that responsibility back to raise our kids and make sure that they're getting the proper education they need to be successful. We're going to be able to do that under Republican leadership.
Education, clearly a big issue playing in this election and in November. You mentioned Timothy Rampton. I want to ask you, are we counting him out? He's been a distant third. Will he be a spoiler tomorrow? What role does he play?
You know, I look at, again, the numbers. We saw a poll that came out over the weekend. He's in the lower single digits. I think there was a voice that he wanted to bring of people of Wisconsin. And that's one of the things that I pride ourselves on the Republican side is we're always willing to open and listen to the voices of the people. That's part of what the primary is all about, hearing what different people have to say and want to make sure that those issues are brought to the forefront. And then we figure out as we move forward in general how we can be successful.
So he might not have a very big impact tomorrow?
I don't think it's going to be a very big one at all, no.
Okay.
I do want to chime in there that Timothy Rampton has really pushed this idea of decertifying the 2020 election. And, you know, Governor Evers is really focused on what he's been able to build and how we can move forward for the state. I understand the Republican Party is really focused on trying to you know, decertify or not decertify the last election. But what's happened now is that there's actually some silence from Tim Michaels. He's refusing to say if he would try to decertify the last election. Rebecca Clayfish refused to say whether she would have certified it if she were governor. We've got to understand, do these candidates think that the public should get to choose who wins the presidential election in our state, or should that be up to a partisan politician?
That's that a big issue for GOP primary voters tomorrow?
I think the big issue for primary voters and for voters across Wisconsin is to make sure that we have fair and open elections. And what we saw in 2020 was situations under emergency orders where draconian ideas were thrown into play to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then said that's the mainstream system that we're going to work with. You know, when you look at ballot boxes, we had never used ballot boxes the way it was used before, out without having anyone buy them. In 2020, they opened the door and Wisconsin Election Commission said, you can do whatever you want because we're not going to give you the rules to run by. That's the challenge that we have. When Governor Evers had the opportunity, there was 30-plus pieces of legislation that would have provided some clarity in elections. He vetoed them all. So those are things that we're going to continue to work on and make sure that we have open, fair elections as we move forward.
Last week in Kansas, there was a referendum that was rejected by voters that would have removed the right to an abortion. And a lot of people nationally thinking that's a good issue for Democrats to be running on in November. Some people saying not so good for GOP. What's your take on, will that have an impact in Wisconsin in November or tomorrow, that issue?
You know, when you look at what happened in Kansas, my understanding is that the constitutional amendment, the language was convoluted to some people. And there was a lot of work done from the Democratic side to kind of bring, again, a smokescreen of what it really was going to happen and what it meant. And I think that's part of the challenge, especially in a situation where we have some laws that are on the books. There have been clarity that occurred. We've had legislation that has gone forward from that. We need to clean things up, and we need to have a great step forward. What I see from the Republican side is we are pro-life individuals. And we look at the value of a life from conception. We look at the life of the parent as well and the mom and make sure that they stay healthy. But there's got to be that balance that occurs to make sure that we're looking out for both of them.
Does that Kansas referendum change messaging for Democrats in Wisconsin?
It actually illustrates why the message Democrats have put forward and really the actions that they've taken have been both so important and so connected to what the general public wants at this moment. At this moment, every provider of abortion services has shut down in Wisconsin. There are people who are having horrific medical situations after miscarriages who are facing potentially life-threatening consequences here in this state. And Republicans have refused to do what the governor asked them to do, which is to convene a special session and actually repeal the 1849 near total ban on abortion. Governor Evers has said he will use his clemency powers to void the sentence of anyone who's sentenced under this draconian, archaic ban. Attorney General Call has said he won't divert resources from public safety in order to enforce this ban. Those are the right things to do. Republicans are you know, I know people of good faith can disagree about a lot of things about this issue, but what we see from Republican politicians is an effort to nail down one of the most extreme laws in the country, in a state that overwhelmingly supported Roe versus Wade, supports the right of people to make their own decisions about when and whether to start a family, some of the most intimate and personal decisions they face, and fundamentally to get the medical care that they need. That's something that we should be able to agree on across the aisle in our state.
And I think we do. And again, this it brings to light exactly how you put it. You just talked about miscarriages as part of an abortion. Miscarriages aren't part of the abortion. Health care to an individual that has a miscarriage is still available. If Planned Parenthood doesn't want to do that, that was their decision. But the access to health care is still available there. It's still there for them to receive. And I think that's part of the challenge that the Democrats try to bring in, is they bring in this all-encompassing picture of women's health care is at issue. It's not. It's a situation where we're talking about the life of a child that you want to snuff out compared to everything else. And it's not a comparison. This is still all on the table. It's still available.
Sounds like we'll be hearing more of that issue going into November, certainly from both parties. That U.S. Senate primary was really the most hotly contested race, many would say, on the Democratic ticket for tomorrow. The challengers withdrew over the last several weeks, leaving Mandela Barnes as the main person on the ticket. That came with some criticism that he was maybe not properly vetted and will have a tougher time against Ron Johnson in the fall. How do you react to that criticism?
Mandela Barnes won statewide decisively in his primary and along with Governor Evers in the general election in 2018. He's a dynamite public service who is ready to defeat Ron Johnson in the general election. He's someone who understands the struggles that working people face. His mom was a public school teacher. His dad was a third shift UAW auto worker. And he's crisscrossed Wisconsin in rural areas and suburban areas and cities alike, talking to folks about what they've experienced. They know we have to bring costs down, and we don't need someone like Ron Johnson, who just voted against the Inflation Reduction Act, voted against bringing down the cost of insulin to $35 a month. Mandela Barnes actually knows what it's like for families who need to work hard to put food on the table, and he's ready to fight for those families across the state. That's why he's gotten such overwhelming support, and we are in full-on general election mode to send Mandela Barnes to the Senate and replace Ron Johnson.
Mandela Barnes, a preferred candidate for to go up against Ron Johnson?
You know, it's interesting you say that the number of candidates pulled out over a couple of weeks is actually three candidates of the top four pulled out within 5 days. That's kind of interesting in and itself. You talk about Mandela Barnes was a great statewide candidate. So was Sarah Godlewski. She won as treasurer. The challenge that we see is, and we hear it especially by the endorsements that Mandela Barnes has read, it's at the left fringe of his party. The Green AOC team, everybody else out there is saying, yeah, we want him here. Mandela Barnes has gone on record and said, I will be the 51st vote for anything the president wants. That's not a voice of the people of Wisconsin. When you look at the compact that you just talked about, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is a $700 billion price increase to the people of the United States, to the people of Wisconsin, that funding is going to be a tax increase. So we're increasing taxes in an inflationary state, which by far most economics people will say is a bad thing to do. He's ready to sign that. It's going to be a death knell, as you put it, to all our farmers that are out there, to the challenges that we have for our agricultural area, to other manufacturing that we have in Wisconsin. That's going to be a challenge. Is he the preferred candidate? I think he is. When we look at his track record and what he done and has done with Governor Evers, we can talk about soft on crime. Mandela Barnes, when he was in the legislature, was one of the ones that authored no cash bail. We've seen the challenges that occurred in Milwaukee because of that. We were impacted in Waukesha County because of that. So there's a lot of things that we're going to be able to run against and prove that he's not the people of Wisconsin, he's not ready for the people for Wisconsin, and that he's not the candidate we want.
Another race making headlines this election is that somewhat unexpected primary challenge in the 63rd Assembly District with Speaker Voss. President Trump had some harsh words against Speaker Voss in Waukesha this last Friday. Will that be a close race?
I don't think so. When you look at Speaker Voss and Representative Voss, he represents the 63rd District. He has been there. He talks to his constituents. He has one of probably the best records of constituent relations, dealing with individuals and the concerns that they have and talking with them. Robin's done a great job being the advocate for the 63rd. As Speaker, he is voted upon by the entire body of the Assembly to be in that position. And he has done, since 2012, he has done a phenomenal job leading a good Republican cause moving forward, try to get things done in this last session. Most of it was vetoed by the governor, and we'll continue to work that way. But I think he'll come through easily.
Another candidate seems somewhat unbeatable is Doug La Follette in that Secretary of State race on the Democratic side. He's held that job for all but 4 years since 1974. Now he has a Democratic challenger. What are your predictions in that race?
So what's so interesting about the Secretary of State race, and you know, I can't speak to where things will land. I don't think a single poll has ever been conducted in the Secretary of State primary. But the fight for Secretary of State is really about this group of Republicans who want to remove power from the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission and put it in the hands of a partisan politician. And their theory on this is if they get the governorship, they can sign a bill into law, and then they move this into the hands of someone who could try to rig or mess with the election in 2024. And so the most critical piece for this is to make sure Governor Evers is reelected. Of course, we want to hold, and I'm confident we will hold, the Secretary of State's office in the Democratic hands in the fall election. But the governor's race will have the biggest impact on what happens in the Secretary of State's office. Republicans have done everything they could to prevent bipartisan or nonpartisan oversight of elections, which is one of our proudest Wisconsin traditions, because they think that a partisan should get to have their hand on the lever. And we think it should be the voters who decide who leads our state and who leads our country.
Republican Amy Loudenbeck, longtime legislator in Wisconsin, she's running for Secretary of State on the Republican side, seemed to be the front runner there. Do you think that she will give whoever the Democratic winner is a tough challenge in November?
Yeah, I think it's, again, a difference of opinion in how we're looking at as we move forward. As Ben just said, they don't really want oversight of an organization that is in charge of the election system. You know, part of the challenge that we've had with Wisconsin Elections Commission is they have never promulgated the rules that guide our clerks on how to run the election cycle. When they tried to do that, the oversight from the assembly said, the way that you're doing this is incorrect, come back and do it again. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for oversight so that we have certainty in how our election systems are run. When you think about it, I believe it's over a third of the states in the, across the country have their Secretary of State is in charge of the election system. So there's proven systems that are out there that we can work off of if that's the direction the legislature and the governor want to go.
So if a Republican wins that seat, it's very likely we'll see some changes in Secretary of State?
That's up to the purview of the legislature.
Okay. The other competitive primary tomorrow on the GOP side is for Attorney General. How are voters making up their minds between the two frontrunners in that candidate in that race?
You know, again, I think it's the opportunity to listen to the two individuals we have, the three individuals that we have running, and find out who is a better replacement for a very ineffective Attorney General right now. When you look at the turmoil that's occurred in his department, he's had challenges from personnel issues within the department. He still has challenges, issues in the lab. There are a lot of inconsistencies that we see from the Attorney General right now. There's a lot of inconsistencies, as you said. He, at times, has decided that he's not going to follow certain laws. He's going to pick and choose which laws he wants to enforce. That's not at the purview of the Attorney General. The Attorney General is there to support the laws of the Wisconsin. And so we look at the two candidates we have. We have one that has legislative experience. We have one that is a district attorney and has prosecutorial experience. I think those candidates, and then we have a third candidate who is an attorney. We have some opportunities there that we can make good strides and get the Attorney General's office back on track.
Another contested seat, that third congressional seat following Ron Kind's retirement. There's a crowded Democratic primary there to take that seat. Facing likely Republican Derek Van Orden in November, how important is it for Democrats to keep that seat?
So there's one analysis that says that the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin could be the most important House district in the country in determining which party has the majority in the House. And what's striking is that the Republican Party has united around one of the least electable, most failed candidates in America in Derek Van Orden. He used campaign funds after he lost in 2020 to fly to Washington, D.C., attend Stop the Steal, and then go to the insurrection. He was on Capitol grounds, although he says he wasn't, and the photos actually show that he was. He's now on probation for trying to bring a loaded gun on a plane in his handbag, and he also made a teenager librarian in Prairie du Chien feel threatened after he got irate about an LGBTQ book display that they had at the library. None of these are the kinds of things that anyone would want in their member of Congress, especially in one of the most purple districts in the country. So because of the stakes in ensuring that Derek Van Orden doesn't come anywhere close to representing our state, a ton of fantastic candidates have thrown their names in the ring. They've been running spirited campaigns. I'm so excited to see who the nominee will be, and I know that we'll get behind that person in a very big way in one of the most critical swing areas of the state. This is going to be a race to watch in the 3rd Congressional District.
Do you agree that's one of the most hotly contested House seats in the country?
There you go. See, we have agreement periodically, right?
There you go.
So we are on the same side, know that the 3rd is going to be one of the hottest seats around. Unfortunately, that means there's going to be a lot of outside money, as you've seen it on the Democratic side as well, money coming in to support candidates. And as I say, that convolutes the message that's out there. The people of Wisconsin want to make sure that they have a candidate that is going to represent them. They want to hear from them and talk to them. And we've seen it in the past in a lot of races that third party money comes in and kind of convolutes the story. But it's going to be a hotly tested race.
2 weeks ago, we heard about a Wisconsin man who admitted to committing voter fraud by using Wisconsin's online voter portal to request ballots that were not for himself. He and others claim there is widespread election fraud. Do you think that means that some GOP voters will stay home because of those concerns?
You know, we've heard that over the last couple of months, that people were concerned about the voting process. We asked them to step up across the board to help us. And I can say that we've had more volunteers willing to help at the polls and inspection workers. When you think about in 2020, we had about 1,200 people across the state that volunteered to be inspection workers that are statutorily required at the polling locations. We're over 5,000. So we have more eyes that are able to watch to see what's going on to ensure a safe system throughout the day of the election. But there are challenges, and we know that there are challenges with the absentee voting issues and other concerns that are on, that we want to make sure we have some clarity in how our election process works, and we'll continue to strive for that.
On the Democratic side, President Biden's approval rating, very low. Inflation continues to go up. Gas prices remain high, although, like you mentioned earlier, they're coming down. Those issues are hard to ignore. Do those affect Democratic voter enthusiasm?
Well, I'm going to credit Paul Farrow for noting that gas prices have been going down for, I think, more than 60 days consecutively at this point. There's no question that rising prices are a challenge for everybody, especially working families who have to think about whether they want to buy insulin or food in some cases. The key thing is who is fighting for the people, for bringing prices down for working families. And that's where you've seen tremendous leadership on the Democratic side. That's where you see Tammy Baldwin, who so desperately needs a partner in Washington instead of Ron Johnson, who votes against every bill that would bring prices down that comes before him. That's where you see Governor Evers proposing to take our great budget surplus and send it back to the people of Wisconsin, which Republicans in our state legislature refused to do. So when you look at an issue like rising prices, it becomes a political question of who's actually on the side of people who are trying to make ends meet versus who's on the side of special interests trying to keep prices high. And that's where Ron Johnson has really run himself out on a rail. He's so out of step with Wisconsin voters, I think in part because he gets massive campaign donations from people who directly benefit from the policies that he proposes, like his tax cut for the wealthiest Americans that really came at the expense of everyone else.
Main predictions for tomorrow?
It's going to be a good day for Republicans.
Main prediction?
It'll be a great day for the nominees of both parties.
And what's the ideal headline you would like to see splashed across tomorrow's paper or in the news?
That Farrow wins the lottery? that'd be ideal. No, I think what we're looking for is we're ready to really start on August 10th as a unified party as we move forward. And that is the one thing, we have probably the most number of statewide candidates we've ever had on a single ballot. But everyone that I've talked to says we're ready to unify behind whoever moves forward and make sure that we're victorious on November 8th.
What's the ideal headline you would like to see in tomorrow's news or Wednesday's news?
I'm excited to see headlines about general election mode beginning with Democrats fired up all over the state to re-elect Governor Evers, to elect Mandela Barnes to the United States Senate, to re-elect Attorney General Call, who has, I think, a tremendous record on public safety and on ensuring the values of Wisconsinites are expressed through our Attorney General's office. And I hope for your sake the Republican Party comes together, but they have a really tough road when the candidates have been at each other's throats, and there are fundamental questions on the Republican side about whether we have a legitimate or should have a legitimate democracy. So I would love to see a spirited contest of ideas as we go into the fall, and maybe that's one place where we agree.
There you go.
Does anything about what happened tomorrow change your strategy going into November?
Nope. We're ready to roll. We've got a good set of systems in place that whoever the candidates are come through, we're going to be able to be victorious.
Anything change for strategy for you, or is it all systems go?
If Timothy Ranthan wins the Republican nomination for governor, then we'll probably have to change gears. With Clayfish or with Michaels, we really have a stark choice between a kind of radical extremism on everything from what should happen in our economy to the abortion ban to the sanctity of our elections and public safety and whether guns should be on school grounds, or Governor Evers, who's a candidate of common sense and doing the right thing. We know that that's going to be the choice, and we're ready for it.
All right. Well, good luck to you both tomorrow. We're seeing some voting information on the screen. The best advice for anyone is to get out and vote, right?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we sit down with the decision makers and highlight the issues that make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.